You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic physician, lecturer, author, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
According to the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, childhood obesity has more than doubled in children and quadrupled in adolescents in the past 30 years. Now, in 2012, more than a third of children and adolescents were overweight or obese, and it's continually getting worse. Now, our guest today is registered dietitian Nicole Silber. She is a pediatric nutrition expert for Beechnut Baby Food. She's here to share her insight and healthful strategies on how to prevent childhood obesity through optimal pediatric nutrition. Welcome, Nicole. Thanks so much for being here on Wellness for Life.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be back.
Oh, wonderful. So, you know, I truly believe that nutrition, pediatric nutrition, really starts in the mother's womb. You know, what the mother eats, all of that actually has a really big, big impact on the baby's health and metabolism. Do you believe that as well, Nicole?
Yeah, I mean, the statistics that you shared in your introduction are definitely alarming, and we really, as a country, need to do everything that we can to really help combat these rising rates of obesity. I think from conception, what a mother eats is definitely has an impact on the baby's development, and also it's kind of the first introduction for a mother into how she's gonna raise her child. And if she's not eating healthfully during pregnancy, then you wonder what's gonna happen when the baby's born. And we want them to have babies to have healthy habits from the moment they have their first bite. So starting from pregnancy, absolutely, we have to educate women and let there be some improvement with what women eat while they're pregnant.
Right. I mean, there's so many studies now. I work with a lot of genetic issues and genetic, you know, what I mean by genetic predisposition variants. And they are finding that mothers who eat poorly, who are exposed to chemicals and toxins, of course, such as smoking and alcohol, all that, it genetically changes the baby's genes and its ability to function most optimally. You know, there's a universal agreement that breastfeeding is the best way to nourish a newborn infant. I think everyone will say that to be true, but there's a great deal of conflicting information about when to start weaning them off the breast milk and what to start with regarding foods, right? Real foods, pureed foods. It's really interesting, the whole array of different types of diets and belief systems. Can you share what your beliefs are regarding that? When's the best transition time?
Yeah, so I think you really pinpointed a main problem, that there's really a lack of education. The government guidelines really only begin for children at 2 years of age, so that really leaves a really big hole for parents to know how to feed their children during the first 2 years. And there's really a lack of, I think, understanding on the importance of what babies eat, because what they eat, studies have shown that what babies eat in the first few months of their life can really have an impact on future eating habits. So I really think this is a call to create some guidelines. But when it comes to when is appropriate to introduce solids, there really isn't a consensus across the board. Different agencies will have slightly different recommendations. My recommendations are to start between 4 to 6 month period. And really in that period of time, it's a lot more about establishing a love for food in your baby. It's a lot more about creating healthy eating habits rather than it is so much to begin weaning off of breast milk, because that really still should be their main source of nutrition until they're 6 months.
Oh, yeah, I like what you're saying regarding, you know, the main source of nutrition should be breast milk. And I, for one, in my practice, I treat a lot of pediatrics. About 40% of my practice is on pediatrics. And I wrote the book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, because a lot of little ones have allergies, you know, to food, to even food. So sometimes 4 to 6 months might be a little too early because of their development of their enzymes, their ability to produce enzymes by their pancreas, their digestive system, as well as even liver. So I'm
4 months is not recommended. There is a tradition of putting some baby food in baby's bottles, even some oatmeal cereal, but I really recommend waiting at least until 4 months. Before 4 months is for sure too early because of what you're saying, the risk of allergies. And it also has been linked to rising rates of obesity as well when you feed your babies too early on food.
Right, right. A lot of mothers, come in with their baby bottles. You know, they want them to sleep, so they'll put, like, literally just rice flour or pureed rice in there. And that's just all sugar. And I think that's a big factor.
Yeah, and breast milk really is designed to be a certain percentage fat, a certain percentage carbohydrate, protein. It's completely well-rounded in terms of its micronutrient profile. And when I'm talking about micronutrients, I'm talking about all the vitamins and minerals. So when you start adding in empty starch to that, it completely throws off the proportions.
Right, absolutely. Now, we were talking about feeding our infants, our babies and toddlers, pureed food starting at 4 to 6. And I mean, you work for a company that has a whole variety of foods. So I'd like to know, what are the recommendations from your company, what a child should eat at about 6 months old, and on, pureed. But is it a variety, or do you start with vegetables first, fruits next, whatever? I'd like to know your take on that.
Yeah, that's a great question. What I love about Beechnut is that their products themselves are very wholesome and as close to homemade baby food as possible. So they're not adding in any preservatives. They're not diluting their baby food with water and broth, which I find in when you do go into the baby food aisle, you will see that in some baby foods. So I love that really their focus is on wholesome food that you would eat at home, but Beechnut, and as well as myself, we do recommend that babies start with a single flavor at a time. Just this way, in case there is an intolerance, you're able to pinpoint what it is. So to start with one single flavor, and every 3 to 5 days, you can introduce a new one as well. I'm all about, though, throwing in vegetables before fruit, because even though fruit is 100% natural, it still does have a sweet profile. And if we really want to get these babies to develop a savory palate and a palate for vegetables and for proteins, we do want to start vegetables first.
That's a very good point. Now, do you guys have organic? Because I'm a true believer of pesticide-free, GMO-free, organic foods. And you've got a line of that?
Yeah, so we have a line. The baby food is non-GMO, which we're very proud of. And we do have a line of organics, which, as you said, does guarantee that there is no pesticide residue in your baby food. But, if organic sometimes isn't always an option for parents, you can't always find it. So my philosophy is to buy organic when you can. The more organic that you can feed your baby and your family, the better. But also, if price is ever a concern, I do use the Environmental Working Group as my go-to resource. Or they have a list called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. Have you heard about that?
Oh, of course. We talked about it many times. That's EWG.org. That stands for Environmental Working Group.org. And every year they come out with a Dirty Dozen. And what it does is basically tell you all the vegetables and fruits that are loaded with pesticides. So stay away from those. But you know what? I mean, parents, there's a lot of wonderful recipes out there also that we can use and make our own. There's so many different ways of making our own.
Yeah, so I think commercial baby food, store-bought baby food is amazingly great for when you're on the go. It's so convenient, especially what I love about Beechnut is that they have some really bold flavors for babies, which I'm also all about, and that's also really part of my philosophy, that if we want babies to turn into toddlers who are adventurous eaters, we can't be giving them bland baby food. So they add spices like cumin. They have really fun ingredients like avocado, pineapple, which, I'm all about spicing it up for the babies. But there's nothing wrong, and not only nothing wrong, it's amazing if you can make your own baby food as well. I think that way you're guaranteed to know what's inside the food. The baby can smell the food while you're preparing it, which is so important for their senses. So I think it's a great philosophy to do a combination of homemade when you can and then the commercial baby food when you're in a time crunch or when you're on the go.
Right. You know, what's sad also though in those baby aisles are these juices. Apple juice, pear juice, grape juice. I mean, these are all the sugars that really promote insulin sensitivity, sugar imbalances, and, you know, obviously it increases the weight issue with babies. Why are we still thinking that that's good food?
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with marketing, that there's a lot of justification in my practice, also my private practice, that I hear, but it's giving my baby some vitamins, or, you know, but it's just a little sip of it, and it's not going to do anything to them. And while I agree, you know, a couple sips of juice isn't going to completely throw your child off the path, I think it's a slippery slope where once they start tasting juice, yes, juice tastes good because it's sweet. Even though it's naturally sweetened, it still is sweet. So why would a baby choose water over something sweet? You know, so I think it's this, again, a lack of guidelines, especially government guidelines, that make it clear to parents that under two, there really shouldn't be much juice drinking at all. And studies have shown that children who do drink sugar-sweetened beverages during the first year are twice as likely to drink them at 6 years. So it really is a, you know, formative month, that first year. So we want to take it seriously.
Right, right. You know, people don't know this, and some people do, but a lot of the consumers don't know that fruit and fruit sugar, fructose, actually increases the triglycerides in our body. Triglycerides are basically fat. And in our body, if we don't use the fat, then it's going to go stored in the fat and it increases. And I believe in the first 2 years of our life is when we develop the number of fat cells. We develop the number of fat cells. So if you are constantly promoting the number of fat cells in the first 2 years of a baby's life, then that means that they've got the more higher capability of stuffing those fat cells with actually fat. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. So I think from a physiological standpoint, you're absolutely correct. But then also where I keep coming back to is also from a taste profile, that if you're giving them only fruit and fruit blends, that's what you're going to teach them to have an affinity for, sweetness. So, you know, for example, I mean, there's so many, for example, we don't typically eat our proteins mixed with fruit when we're, you know, as adults. Every once in a while, you know, you'll have a really nice chicken with a fruity marinade, for example, but you wouldn't sit there with apples right next to chicken on your plate. But yet, in a lot of these baby foods, what we're combining is we're masking the flavor of the proteins and of the vegetables with fruit. So it's not teaching children to really develop a love for fruits. I mean, a love of vegetables. I'm sorry. Excuse me. A love for vegetables. So it really, my take-home message is always to, even down the baby food aisle, don't just pick blends that have fruit in them. And I really think you should stick to, once your baby is on 3 meals a day, to really stick with one, maybe 2 meals a day that have fruit in it, and to do one meal that's completely savory, that's all veggies and protein.
Okay, I love what you're saying. Let's talk about savory food. Yeah, I'm Korean, so I love everything savory. Anything that's tasty. I don't ever eat bland chicken. You'll never see a piece of grilled chicken in front of me because it just doesn't. It's not fun. You know what I mean? And my mouth just wants the different types of flavors. So, you've mentioned cumin. I mean, that's a hot herb. And different types of savoriness that we can, what do you recommend that our parents use? And definitely we don't want to do excessive amounts, but what should we start with? Even if we're starting to make, let's say, a little bit of puree chicken, what can we add?
That's a great question. I think it should be fun. There's no studies that have shown that babies need bland baby food and that any spices are dangerous. I would caution against too much sodium. We really want to, stick within the guidelines, and we don't want to go over 1,500 milligrams of sodium.
Per day, isn't that right?
Yeah, which often happens. But when it comes to other herbs, I mean, I think to add to your chicken, a great thing to add is some rosemary, and to actually use the fresh leaves, which tend to, you can puree them a little bit easier than the dried ones. The dried ones tend to be, can make a little bit of a funny texture for babies for their first few bites. So I think adding some rosemary, some fresh oregano, even some basil, cumin is completely fine as well. Another blend that I really love is carrots with some cinnamon is really delicious, or carrots with dill as well. Those are really yummy combinations.
I think that a lot of mothers, and fathers, caretakers, they actually don't taste the food that they make for their babies. I've seen this happen all the time. Like, I ask the parents when they come into, what are you feeding and have you tasted it? And to make sure, because a lot of kids are finicky, right? They just don't want to eat it. And they don't taste the food. So if you taste the food and you find that it's actually, tasty, then maybe your little babes will be able to eat it.
Yeah, no, I think that's such a great point. I teach some workshops on how to introduce solids to babies across New York City, and I give out a lot of samples of baby food. And when it comes to the taste testing, I'm always surprised by the number of parents who opt out from the tasting. And I always, try to gently encourage them, because if this is what you're feeding your little one, you should want to know what it tastes like. And the parents who do taste some of the blends are actually really surprised with how different they taste from what they were expecting.
Right. Exactly. Oh gosh. We talked a little bit about nursing, and nursing is the main nutrition for the baby. And I'm someone that says you can nurse your baby as long as you want. I mean, I'm not saying that you want to go up to the teens, but in the first 2 to 3 years of the life, that's something that they want to do. They can do it. But because as a mother gets and when once the baby's getting older, the mother actually doesn't produce as much volume of milk. When they're way into the 2 years into breastfeeding, and they end up
breastfeeding it's a feedback system. So the more the babies need, the more your body produces. The less the babies need, which tends to happen as they start eating more food, the less milk mothers tend to produce.
Right. So most of the time when they're, going into their second year, let's say, or past second, it's usually morning and at night, or there's just a nighttime nursing. And then the rest of the time they're eating. And, when I talk about food for babies, when do you start going from puree to solids is when they start having teeth. So what do you all recommend? What do you as a pediatric nutritionist recommend?
So you have to, every baby is a little bit different, and there really aren't great guidelines, as I keep stating, and also there really isn't that much science and research into watching babies and recommend, giving set recommendations for when they're ready to advance. So it really is, I urge people to, of course, listen to the guidelines of their pediatricians, and really to look at your own baby's, your own baby's development, because babies, as much as parents want them to be exactly set on a certain calendar dates and months for milestones when it comes to eating, there is a little bit of flexibility in that. I do like, by the time they're one, to really be on table foods, which is really basically what mom and dad are eating, just in small appropriate sizes for them that they can actually use their fingers to pick up themselves. And also it has to be soft and moist. You don't want anything too dry, which could be a potential choking hazard. But, I will say if the goal is for 1 year for them to be eating really table foods, then already at 9 months, we really want to start getting some texture with them. 7 months, I like to recommend even starting some of those dissolvable puffs for them, which are great because if they swallow it accidentally whole, it dissolves. So it's pretty safe when it comes to a choking hazard.
I want to talk a little bit about food allergy or kids who've got severe food allergies, because I have a lot of patients that have that. I'm talking about the ones that have peanut allergies and milk allergies and shrimp allergy, whatever it is, and they really got to stay away from those foods. I'd like your take on what's going on there. Why is it such an increase? Because when I was growing up, we didn't have anyone even carrying an EpiPen, but we've got many, many children at their school, at the nurse's station, they all have EpiPens. Not all, but you know what I'm saying. So what's your take on that?
Much more common. Yeah, there are a couple of different theories as to why there's an increase in food allergies, especially in children in our country. And if you compare America's rates of allergies to some other countries, it's interesting how different the rates are, and there is a lot higher rates in America. I mean, there are a couple of theories. One of them is how babies are even brought into the world. So if there's a higher rate of C-sections, when you think about C-sections versus a vaginal birth, it's a lot more sterile. Whereas when babies go down the birthing canal, they're introduced to the mother's bacteria, and that introduction to the bacteria can have an effect on their gut microbiome, which are the bacteria that live in the stomach, even the healthy bacteria. And without a really healthy gut microbiome, that can increase risks of allergies. That kind of philosophies also can be placed to breastfeeding rates as well. Women who breastfeed are more likely to pass on healthy bacteria to their babies through the skin, whereas babies who are fed exclusively formula and exclusively also commercial baby food, both of those are sterile. So the babies aren't given the good gut bacteria that they need to really promote their immune system.
I'm glad that you're talking about the breastfeeding, because there's a lot of good bacteria and, you know, diverse bacteria around the areola where the breast is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mothers have a tendency to, new mothers especially, just wash it down with alcohol or some type of formula to clean it, right, before and after. And that's getting rid of all the good bacteria and the probiotics that are necessary to, and even small amounts of yeast to be able to create better flora for the baby. And the thing about the vaginal birth, it's so important if we can, you know, do your best to have vaginal birth, because then your baby will have what's called native flora. Native meaning it comes from the mother's womb. So,
right. It's not always an option for women, but I'm so for more natural because of the bacteria, which you're saying. And really, to, you know, as a new mom myself, I have a 5-month-old at home, and I'm a little bit more hesitant now to always overwash her pacifier when it drops, because, you know, I say maybe it's good for her stomach. She needs some good bacteria in there.
That's such a good point. You know, there's so many now new books out there about using, you know, having like dirt. Dirt is good for you. Soil is good for you.
they've shown that families and children who are raised actually in more rural areas surrounded by farms actually have lower rates of allergies, as well as some other autoimmune conditions like inflammatory bowel disease compared to the urban population, you know, where we're an over Purell country. So hopefully with some more education and awareness about this, we can start moving away from that.
Great. We just got about a last minute here. Nicole, where can we find you more about your work and what you're doing to helping so many parents with their children and their nutrition?
Yes, so there's tons of really great information up on BeechNut's website. So it's BeechNut.com. And if you go to the blog, there's tons of information. We created a package called What Baby Eats Now, a downloadable PDF, where you get all these really good concrete guidelines for how to introduce solids to your babies, as well as fun recipes to feed your family, to make your own homemade baby food, and how to use the BeechNut baby food blended into some recipes for the entire family.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. Okay, this is Nicole Silber. You have a website as well called NicoleSilber.com. And gosh, great information, Nicole. Really happy having
you
here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Now I put a link up on my Wellness for Life radio show page. So until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.